Fourth and final hour, Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe Rexrode here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley. Michelle Knezovic producing. And got a kind of a big one here coming up Sunday in Indy, Lucas Oil Stadium, Titans, Colts. Titans going for their fourth straight win in Indy. And to talk about that, on our guest line, we are very excited to welcome in Zach Kiefer, covers the Colts and the NFL for The Athletic, does a fantastic job. Zach, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing fine. Looking forward to this game. And you had an interesting piece this week talking about the Colts, the Colts' intensity for this matchup, starting at the very top, with owner, of course, Jim Irsay, and his pretty vocal his insistence that his team start beating the Titans. And I thought some really interesting comments, Zach, from some of the guys too. It's a big game always. It's a rivalry game. It's usually, or lately, means the division. But what is the intensity you can detect from this team at this point for this game?
Yeah, I don't know how the Titans and Titans fans view games against the Colts. If it's bigger than some of the others on their schedule, the Titans have obviously had their way in the division the last 2 years. And I can think of no one that pisses off more than Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts. And both of those games were fairly tight last year. The Titans won by 9 down in Nashville. And then the infamous left-handed interception and then Carson Wentz's second interception and the overtime period. It just really rankles Jim Irsay. And in a conversation this spring, he basically revealed that after that first loss, he pulled in all of his scouts and all of his coaches and ripped into them for about an hour. And the topic of conversation was the fact that they could not beat the Tennessee Titans when they most needed to. Remember, this was a series the Colts owned for a long time. At one point, they had won 19 of 22. Andrew Luck never lost a game to the Titans. But that has flipped the last couple of years. A big part of that is Mike Vrabel and the job he's done. The Titans have won 4 of 6, and the Colts are ticked off about it. But the problem is they haven't done anything to change that. And I'm not ruling the Titans out on Sunday either.
So, Zach, how big, other than just it, they needed a win, they beat what I think is going to be one of the best teams in the NFL this season, again, in the Chiefs. How big was that win, not just for getting the win, but just in terms of confidence and just putting some good, football on the field? It just seemed like they looked like a different team than a lot of what we saw in the first two games from the Colts.
Right, yeah. The KC win was nice, don't get me wrong. But this is the bigger one. This is the bigger one. The Titans are always going to be the bigger game. But the Colts finally put together some competent football. They were a 40-yard field goal away from beating the Texans in overtime, but they missed it. And that exposed a lot of flaws that we saw carry over into Jacksonville that they didn't even show up that day. It's just mystifying how they haven't won down there in almost 9 years. But that's a different conversation for a different day. But look, this team's not going anywhere. They're not going to beat anybody, including the Titans, if they don't block. Like, Matt Ryan is running for his life. He's not the mobile quarterback that Carson Wentz was. That is flirting with disaster. I don't care what the Titans' record is. They're going to be good up front. They've got Autry. They will get after you. So the Colts know that they're not going to do anything until they start to block. And a guy like Jonathan Taylor is doing everything he can to find some yards, but it's been hard to come by so far. So for a team, I think in a lot of ways the Colts and Titans are built similar. They want to win up front. The Colts are not winning up front so far.
Who is more mobile, Matt Ryan fully healthy or Carson Wentz with 2 bum ankles?
you're really putting me on the spot.
Can we put Philip Rivers in there too? Let's throw him in there. Okay, make it a sack race. Yeah.
Well, Rivers had a bum toe the last half of the season, so it's really there's no answer. But look, Matt Ryan is actually fairly mobile for a pocket quarterback. Like, he's not a statue, but you don't want him to run. Let's put it that way.
So obviously, Zach, I know you've written about it, and there's been a lot of talk around Indy about that offensive line, the investment in the offensive line, and it's been tremendous in the interior, but tackle's been the issue. Like, has there been any progress there? What do you think is the best case, for that group up front as things move forward?
Well, the problem, Joe, is they've got 2 guys playing out of position, frankly. Like, they just decided to make Matt Pryor a left tackle in the offseason, and he'd started 1 game in his career there. And he's done okay, but he's a liability out there, especially against speed off the edge. And then secondly, Danny Pinter is their right guard, and he's more of a backup center. So you can't just, like, make these guys into these positions and just hope it works out. And I'm not going to excuse the high-paid guys either. Quentin Nelson's been good. That's no surprise. But Ryan Kelly's a Pro Bowl center, and he's been bad. And Braden Smith, there was some Pro Bowl chatter a couple of years ago. He's been bad at right tackle. So you guys would be amazed if you watch the tape how many free rushers the Colts are allowing. We're talking guys that don't even get touched on their way to Matt Ryan. And like you said, Matt Ryan's 37 years old, and he's got maybe a second and a half to make a decision. And oh, by the way, they don't have a great receiving group, and those guys aren't getting open every down either. So it's really an offensive problem so far, and it's just basic football. Like, you need to block the guy in front of you, but they've had so many miscommunication errors and just bad play and bad technique that it's just hard to win football games that way when you don't have, you know, a superstar quarterback that's able to supersede that.
To that point, Zach, we were talking about this earlier. The Colts have the least efficient offense in the league through 3 weeks, according to DVOA. So let's dig into that a little.
Right.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit more. I mean, you know, you really just touched on a lot of it, but when you're thinking about what the key is to making the Colts offense more efficient, what's the number one thing in your mind that needs to get right for them to climb back up to have a more efficient offense?
It's simple. It's blocking. They need to block people. Like, I'm not reinventing the football wheel here, but they're just not blocking people. And the funny thing is, you know, Matt Ryan came here, and he had some options. He had some teams that were interested when it became clear that the Falcons were going to try and get Deshaun Watson. And one of the reasons that sold him on Indianapolis is Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith and this offensive line, which, by the way, is the highest paid offensive line in the league, $42.2 million of the salary cap this year. And they're not getting it done. And I don't care who you are. It's going to be miserable if you're playing under pressure every single down. He's been pressured 30% of the downs. I think he's been hit 35% of the downs. And he's been sacked 12 times, which was trailing only Carson Wentz in Washington and then Joe Burrow, who's playing behind a bad line in Cincinnati. So that's just a bad way to play football. And then kind of like the Titans, the Colts are really built in a way to win in 1995, right? I mean, you guys know this down there with all those yards that Derrick Henry piled up. Jonathan Taylor can be neutralized. As good as he is and as good as Henry is, you can neutralize the run game when the pass game can't protect and the pass game can't move the ball in chunks. So that's the problem. I mean, they went down to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, and Jonathan Taylor, who's as good as anybody in the league at what he does, was effectively neutralized, and they didn't score a point. Like, how does an offense with Jonathan Taylor not score a point? So that's the reality. If they don't start blocking people, this is going to be a long season. They say they're going to figure it out. They say they're going to get better, and they're going to figure this stuff out. But until they do, it's just a tough sledding. It's tough sledding for Matt Ryan and company.
Well, you mentioned, you know, watching or talking to Zach Kiefer, brother. He does a great job covering the Colts and the NFL for The Athletic. Like, is it more just individual guys not doing their job, or is there like a communication issue here, which I guess would be more fixable if it's more that, right?
Yeah, it is. Part of it is that, Joe. I will say this. This is not all on the offensive line. There's a couple times when Taylor missed the block or when a receiver missed the block, and that matters too, right? Those 60- and 70-yard runs that Taylor really was doing consistently last year, oftentimes the last guy to spring him was a tight end or a receiver in space at the second level. So let's not all put it on the offensive line, but they no doubt need to be better. And the strange part is you've got a 37-year-old quarterback who's a veteran, and you've got a center who's the longest tenured Colt in Ryan Kelly. Like, these are not new guys. These are not young players. And I just don't get how they're not communicating right. But one thing, and they haven't said this is my idea, they just don't trust each other just yet. You know how an offensive line will leave a guy because they trust him to get his job done? I don't feel like they trust the newcomers on the line, and that's a bad way to play football at that position.
On the other side of the ball, it looks like, you know, possibly could be problematic with DeForest Buckner, hasn't practiced this week with the elbow, but maybe that Shaq Leonard – formerly Darius Leonard, is possibly going to debut. What if that's the case, Zach, what would be the trade-off there when it comes to the obvious goal of tackling number 22 for the Titans?
I don't think Darius Shaq Leonard is going to play. That's just my gut. We'll find out in a couple hours. I think he's out at least another week because they have a short week and play in Denver on Thursday. I think the comeback will be after that. That's just my guess. The defense was lights out Sunday against Kansas City. Didn't see it coming. They deserve all the credit in the world. They're the number one run defense in the league. They're averaging about 2.6 per carry given up. Like, that's just tremendous. Now, it's a different test when you're facing Derrick Henry, obviously. They've been fairly good against Henry the last couple of years. They've got two guys up front. I think Buck plays. They got a guy up front named Grover Stewart who's just quietly been terrific this year. So that's going to really be if they can neutralize Henry as much as you can with as talented as he is. I think their secondary really made some big strides. Stephon Gilmore's been really good. He's sort of having a late career renaissance in Indy so far. So I think that's going to be the key, is if they can do what they've done consistently against Henry, force Tannehill to throw, I think the Colts like what they can do on that side of the ball.
Last thing for you, Zach. Going big picture here, because, look, here in Nashville, Titans 0-2 start, and people, there's some fans talking talking Vrabel's job, the reigning coach of the year. So that stuff gets – it gets out of hand. But I do wonder, do you feel like Frank Reich in particular is coaching for his job right now, or is it a little bit premature to frame it that way? And I mean this season.
I don't think he is. Now, I think if they fail to make the playoffs, which I think has been a very clear directive from the owner, that I think the seat warms a little bit. I think context is important. Remember, this guy's on his fifth quarterback in 5 years. That's really tough. That's really tough for any head coach. But let's be clear, Ursay is tired of waiting, and the Titans have been in the way, and they have won the division, and they have been the better team the last couple of years. This game and then the game a couple weeks from now in Nashville are very, very important in the owner's mind. So I know that Jim Ursay is a big fan of Mike Vrabel. I know he thinks he's an excellent coach. I tend to agree with them. I think Vrabel gets as much out of his roster as just about any coach in the league. Now, I know they started 0-2, but it would be something in Nashville if they were able to come up here and win this weekend, I think, with a little bit of an undermanned team. I don't think Frank's coaching for his job right now, but if things end poorly like they did last year, there's going to be a conversation.
Zach Kiefer, The Athletic, covers the Colts. The NFL does a fantastic job, has been our guest. Zach, thanks so much, my friend. Really appreciate it. We'll see you up there Sunday at Lucas Oil.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That was Zach Kiefer talking Colts Titans. And interesting. I mean, this is why it's important. You get people who cover these teams, because I'm sitting here all day, all week, I think Shaq Leonard's going to debut. And DeForest Buckner's probably going to be out. And that's a total flip of what Zach expects. So if that's the case, DeForest Buckner in, Darius/Shaq Leonard still not in, what does that mean? We'll talk about that and more as we come back. And Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and football season is underway. So now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROB. Most weeks I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. Tough loss last week to Miami, but I think they respond in a big way. Look at the Green Bay Packers the next few weeks as well. That schedule starts to lighten up. But take it any way you want to take it, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
It's Preds game day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Preds Lightning at Bridgestone tonight, preseason game. And shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000 of stuff, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Also, tune in to this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Denver Broncos against the Las Vegas Raiders at 3:25 p.m. NFL Games of the Week. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine and Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back, Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, Adam Vingan, who is in for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic. Did you have, you feel, you looked like you have something you want to say?
I was just thinking about the Raiders, because you mentioned them as the one half of the game of the week. You know, I was at the Titans game helping our dear friend Teresa Walker on Sunday at, of the Associated Press.
Yes, you were. And, all dressed up, too.
You act like you've never seen me in a button-down before.
I just – no, man. It's just like people go cover all this stuff, and then they show up to an NFL game, and they think you have to dress up more for an NFL game. I don't get it.
Anyway.
I don't get it.
Anyway, I was on Raiders duty, and it did take a long time for Josh McDaniels to show up for his news conference, and the reason why is because apparently he was having a closed-door meeting with Mark Davis.
Oh, yeah.
So
did he tell you that at the presser,
no,
by the way?
No, yeah, he did not. I think it came out later or maybe right before by someone who's actually in the know on the Las Vegas Raiders. But I was like, man, it's taken a long time for him to show up. And it was because he was having a closed-door meeting with his boss.
It's already time for the closed-door meetings. And I love, as I think Robbie said earlier this week, you know, the closed-door meeting, that's a great term, you know, as opposed to the...
Has one ever had an open-door meeting?
I mean, I guess, but like it's like the meeting at the like the food court, you know, so all can watch. It's like a public, like a city council meeting. So, Zach Kiefer, good stuff there on the Colts on how bad they are or have been up front, how kind of ill-fitting they've been with the offensive line. And again, they're the most invested in offensive line in the league. I mean, Matt Ryan, like he said, Matt Ryan went there because of that offensive line, because of the running game, because he hasn't had those things, and so far it's bad. And I have watched, you know, I haven't watched the extent of Colts tape he has, but it is astounding some of the plays where, like, I look at it, it's like that has to be a communication bust. And that one has to be a communication bust. It's like he said, free rushers just barreling down on Matt Ryan. Like, you would think some of those things. Like, look, if you got somebody at tackle and just can't handle a good edge player, okay, that's – I mean, it's not ideal, but then you chip him or you double him, you deal with that. But when – in the interior in particular, people are just not being blocked. That, to me, says there's something to do with scheme or communication that – that needs to be fixed. At least that's probably more fixable than if you just can't – you know, you're just in if you're deficient at a particular position, but it sounds like they might be at multiple positions. So big opportunity for the Titans to get after Matt Ryan. And then on the other side, very interesting. You know, if DeForest Buckner is indeed on the field, if Shaq Leonard isn't, what does that mean for Derrick Henry? I mean, Derrick Henry and his output in this game, if there's one stat, you know, other than the obvious like red zone and turnovers and all that stuff, like if there's an individual stat I'm going to use as a barometer, it's obvious, but it's Derrick Henry's output.
I was just looking at NFL Next Gen stats, because one thing they do track is average time to throw by quarterbacks. And based off of what Zach was talking about, I figured that Ryan would be at the top of the list in term, or you know, technically the bottom of the list in terms of the least amount of time he has to throw. Tom Brady has the least amount of average time to throw so far, 2.4 seconds.
And Giselle's like, see, should have just retired when you were going to retire, buddy.
Matt Ryan, 2.76 seconds average time to throw. Ryan Tannehill, 2.72.
Interesting.
So I thought it would be a lot. It's actually better than I expected.
And where do those two rank, Ryan and Tannehill?
They're down there. Unfortunately, they're not like numbered, but they're it looks like they're out of the top 20. I mean, the five quarterbacks with the least amount of time to throw: Tom Brady, Cooper Rush, which, you know, small sample, yep. Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, again small sample, and Kyler Murray.
And what? Okay, so what's the worst? What's the worst number?
Tom Brady averages 2.4 seconds time to throw. So he has the least amount of time to throw so far this season.
That's interesting. I'm not shocked that Ryan Tannehill would be at least right where Matt Ryan is.
Yes, I mean, they're basically identical.
Yeah, I mean, both of them you know, have had those issues. And which team can protect, which team can get after the passer Sunday? I mean, as Zach said there, okay, Matt Ryan's not a total statue. That's fine, but he's not hurting you with his feet. I mean, he can maybe extend plays, move around a little bit in the pocket. But for the most part, if you can get pass rush on him, like, you can get him to the ground. That's been true of Tannehill. Tannehill does have more ability to break the pocket and make you pay. You just don't see it a ton. But, you know, both running backs, that's just a obvious, huge stat for this game. Both pass rushes. And then, as Zach said, you know, the Colts right now, they don't scare anybody on the outside. I do think that throwing to the tight end, which has worked out well for them, is probably something that they're going to look at here. And, of course, the Titans, we expect Joe Schobert. That's what I expect. I expect Joe Schobert to be starting at linebacker next to David Long on the inside in place of Zach Cunningham. Maybe we get a surprise today with practice and the injury report, but that's what I expect. And it's just Zach Cunningham is made, like, he is signed for this game. Like, this is when you want Zach Cunningham in the box trying to not let Jonathan Taylor have an inch of room.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Cunningham's, you know, the one play I think of is that first touchdown that the Bills scored, where he had, was it the fullback for the Bills? He had him down. He had him in the backfield and completely whiffed on the tackle, which led to that first touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Zach Cunningham's interesting because I remember it being a relatively big deal when the Titans picked him up, just because of, you know, his statistical.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah, he's been a good player.
Statistical profile.
Well, they got him on waivers and they were way down the list.
Yeah, so, you know, I think. I'm sure people expected at that time that he would not make it to the Titans on the waiver wire.
I didn't think so.
And he did. So, you know, it felt like, you know, they kind of, you know, they stole something there, but, you know.
But he's got to play better. Right? And I don't think Sunday is when he's going to prove it. I don't think he's going to be active. Ryan asks on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com, is that how fast they do throw it or how long till they are sacked? It's definitely not how long till they're sacked. It's just how much time they have.
Oh, time to throw?
Yeah.
Next Gen Stats defines time to throw as time to throw measures the average amount of time elapsed from the time of snap to throw on every pass attempt for a passer, sacks excluded.
Okay. So there you go. So, yeah. So it's measuring how long till the pressure gets to them, though. Is that not right? I mean, wouldn't that be accurate?
I mean, to me, I read it as from the time that the ball is in their – the time the ball is in their hands to the time it's out, on average, is that number.
Okay. I guess I took it differently then. So, that I mean, because
– I could be wrong, but I think that's how I interpret it.
What that could mean then is that Brady just gets it out fast, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not – like, that could be your choice,
that,
right?
That is true, yes.
Which Brady does, you know, tend to – at times – get it out fast, and of course he takes some shots too. And I haven't been able to watch much of the Bucs.
I'm sure that the pressure does play a role into it, but
I'm sure it does too.
Yeah,
yeah. So I guess, but sometimes it is schematic too, right?
Yeah. So sometimes it's just play. You know, certain quarterbacks know where they're throwing the ball and they get it out quickly.
Bottom line is that for Tannehill and Ryan, if either of them gets consistently clean pockets, like both of them have. You know, underwhelming receiving groups. One place I'd give the Titans an edge is I still think their group with Woods, and especially if Treylon Burks is going to be out there a lot, is going to be utilized. And, you know, Kyle Phillips, I think, will be back for this game. I just want to get the check on him. He has been limited both days. So, you know, he may be a questionable designation. We'll see what happens today. That would be big for them to get him back, especially if they get him back. Like, they have the better receiving core. I don't think that's very controversial than the Colts. And that's where that could be the difference, too. You know, Treylon Burks, can you get him a couple big plays in a game like this? That's one of many questions.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Like, would you rather have a more balanced receiving attack with the likes of Robert Woods and Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, or would you rather have that one standout wide receiver? Like, would you rather have Woods and Burks or Michael Pittman when he's fully healthy and capable?
I think you'd rather have A.J. Brown, but we've talked.
That wasn't part of the question.
I understand. All right.
Joe's not ready to break up with
him. No fun, sir.
That's right. By the way, Dennis has a great picture of Nick Sirianni practices with like kids and bubbles and hula hoops and all kinds of fun. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And when we come back on Robbie Rack Show, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And here we go. Pigskin Pick'em. I'll quickly review where we are because it's very, very disheartening. Last week, actually, Michelle had a big week. 5-1 with a lock, 6 points. Robbie went 4-2 with a lock, 5 points. I went 3-3 with no lock, 3 points. So Robbie, 12-6, 14 points, leading the way. Michelle, though, she's coming after him. She's up to 9-9, 500, 11 points, 2-1 in your locks. It's a very good competition. And then there's me, 7-11, 7 points, 0-3 on my locks. So I'm going to do the George Costanza and just go against my instinct on my lock. So for this week, let's start off with Titans at Colts. The Colts are minus 3.5 points. And, Michelle, what is your call on this one?
I think this is going to be a very, very close game. And I've been saying it all week that I'm going to take Tennessee plus the 3.5. I think this game is separated by one. I do think ultimately that Tennessee will win this game. I think they have more options on offense. But definitely going to be a good matchup in Indy. Mike Vrabel looking for his fourth win. But give me Tennessee plus the 3.5.
Robbie is with you on that. Robbie has submitted his picks, and he's with you. So he's taking the Titans and the points. And let's make it a clean homer sweep. Let's make it a clean sweep. I actually think the Titans are going to win this game outright in a very close game with a late field goal from Randy Bullock. I certainly like the taking the 3.5 points. So there, Adam, would you like to shame us at all for our homerism?
No.
Okay. I'll go to you for your commentary or interject whenever you want.
Okay.
All right. We're also all going to pick one of the college games. Tennessee is idle or off. Both are acceptable. Vanderbilt, idle or off. Both acceptable. You know what's not acceptable, Vingan?
What's not acceptable?
Bye week is not acceptable. But we're all going to pick Alabama at Arkansas. Alabama at Arkansas. The Hogs getting 17.5. I'll start this one. I'll gladly take 17.5. I think Alabama's going to win. I think Alabama's probably going to win by about 10 to 14 points. But I don't think this is going to be some outright destruction of the Hogs in Fayetteville. No, I do not. So I'll gladly take 17.5, especially that hook there. I like that a lot. Michelle?
Joe, I am on your side with this one. I think we've seen some of Alabama's weaknesses this year, especially in that Texas game. Like what I'm seeing from Arkansas and Sam Pittman, listen, they are disrespecting the Hogs a little bit. This game is in Arkansas. So give me Arkansas plus the 17.5. I think Bama wins outright, maybe by about 2 touchdowns, like late throwaway ones. But give me the Arkansas plus the 17.5. I really like that one.
Robbie, however, going with the Crimson Tide. Robbie is going for the Crimson Tide blowout in this game. So there, we differ on that one.
How does this affect Tennessee's path to the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, Tennessee should want Bama to win. Hey, you can laugh all you want, man. You never know.
You've taken a lot of heat.
That's fine.
This week for that take.
I'm just trying to inspire discussion. You know, that's all I'm trying to do.
That's all it is, baby.
All right, our individual picks. I'll start. I'm going to go. I've got a Big Ten flavor this week. But I've got Purdue at Minnesota, Minnesota minus 12. That's a big line. Minnesota went into Michigan State and absolutely thumped them. I think PJ Fleck got a squad this year, and I'm not loving the Boilers. I'm going to take the Gophers and give the 12 points. I'll read off Robbie's first one, which will excite you very much, Michelle. Kentucky, Ole Miss getting 6.5, and Robbie going with your Cats. Robbie is...
It's Catter Day.
It's Catter Day, baby.
Coming for Robbie. Robbie, going. How about that? See, you gotta love that, right?
Oh, I love it, and that's very fitting as we head into my first individual pick. Listen, Kentucky was a 5.5-point dog heading down to the Swamp. They ended up beating Florida by 10. I feel confident their star running back is coming back. At Ole Miss, plus the 6.5. I'm nervous about money line on this one. I think Kentucky will slip away. I do think they're a bit better than Ole Miss. But give me Kentucky plus the 6.5, guys. And you know what I'm about to do? Make it at my lock. Very nervous. Nobody talked to me between 11 a.m. and about 1:45 tomorrow.
Very dangerous, making it your lock. Whew. By the way, I forgot what Robbie's lock was, but there it is. Okay. All right. Let's go back to you, Michelle. Your second one.
Okay, my second one, I'm taking a look at the NFL slate. Going to switch over. And Adam, I'm really sorry if this makes you sad. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. But heading over to the UK, we've got an early one. Minnesota Vikings versus the Saints. Looks like Jameis Winston isn't going to play. I'm taking the Vikings minus the 3. I think they win by about a touchdown, but feeling pretty confident in that one.
Well, I'll just go to that one, too, because I also have that one. And, you know, Vinga, we're not trying to gang up on you and your Saints. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to take the Vikings, give the 3, and make that my lock.
Guaranteed.
The Saints are pretty bad, man.
They're not looking very good right now. I mean, their one epic fourth quarter comeback against the Falcons from being 0-3.
Mariota.
It's not looking so great in the Bayou right now, but discount Andy Dalton at your own peril. That's all I'm saying. And with Michael Thomas out, definitely out for the game, Chris Olave had a big game against the Panthers in a losing effort. Had 13 targets a couple of weeks ago, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Olave, look out for him with Michael Thomas out of the fold. I'm just saying, I might have to touch base with you guys on Sunday or Monday after Andy Dalton throws 3 touchdowns to lead the Saints to an upset victory against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's what I was looking for.
That's all I'm saying.
That sounds like another called shot for you. Robbie, his second one, Florida State, Wake Forest. Wake Forest getting 6.5. He is taking Wake in the 6.5, and I like that pick. Let's go back to Robbie. Texans, Chargers. Chargers minus 5.5, and he is taking the Chargers to bounce back from the absolute thumping put on them by the Jacksonville Jaguars, 38-10. My third one. Are we in the third one? What am I doing? Okay, my second one, Rutgers at Ohio State. Here's what I'm doing, Michelle. I'm totally screwing up the segment. But I've been going against the big spreads. I'm turning it around. Rutgers at Ohio State minus 39.5. I'm sorry, Greg Schiano. You're going down by 40 plus. Give me the Buckeyes, and I'll give those points. Your third one, Michelle.
Okay, my third one, Joe, I'm kind of on the same train as you. Georgia versus Missouri. Georgia is only favored by 28.5. I think you hammer Georgia on the 28.5 for that one. Missouri, probably the worst team in the SEC, them in South Carolina. But, give me Georgia minus the 28.5.
And Missouri's a 5-star freshman receiver. Questionable. And questionable if he'll ever play again for Missouri. So that's not ideal. Michelle, go ahead and take it down the stretch on the last pick.
Okay, last one. Robbie had this one as well. Give me Wake Forest plus the 6.5. I know Florida State is looking good, but I think that's going to be much closer than a 6-point game. I think it's separated by about 3. So give me Wake Forest plus the 6.5.
Robbie, for his fourth pick, Browns, Falcons. And, of course, Robbie's just got to somehow get a shot in at Mariota, even when he's not here. Falcons getting 1.5. Robbie going Browns, and make that Robbie's lock.
Yeah!
Ooh, you disagree. You disagree?
Listen, I got the Falcons last week over the Seahawks, and they helped me advance to 5-1.
Gotta love a little Mariota, Arthur Smith. I'm just saying. And my final one, I'm actually back to the college game and back to another big spread. Georgia Tech just fired his coach. Disarray, terrible team at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh minus 22. I'd love like 20.5 more, you know. But go ahead, give me Pittsburgh. Keaton Slovis back in that lineup, minus 22. I think they put an absolute number on Georgia Tech.
Narduzzi, a doozy.
That's right. Friend of the show, Pat Narduzzi. Adam, any other comment, any other promises about New Orleans Saints football that you'd like to make?
No, but where's the love for the 3-1 Duke football team?
Oh, my goodness. Are you a Duke football fan, too?
No.
You don't even care.
Hey, but it was Northwestern the other day.
It was really exciting that a lot of the traditional college basketball powerhouses had great football teams. Kansas and Duke went head-to-head last week, a battle of 3-0 teams. Kansas pulled it out, but Duke, Virginia this weekend, Duke minus 2.5.
Yes.
Where's the love?
A lot of exciting nerd football going on this fall. No doubt about that in college football.
Happy Catterday.
Yes, happy Catterday. And with that, I have a message for you before we come back for our final segment. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about OrderGreen.com, the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. A lot of benefits here, natural benefits here. I have a lot of friends and family, including mother of a friend who is struggling with a serious health condition, and this has been big for her. We're talking edibles, gummies, vapes, flower, high-quality THC and CBD products, and a team that knows these products inside and out, so you know you're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers. You get nationwide same-day delivery to your doorstep. You get 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase, OrderGreen.com. Join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Sunday following the big Titans-Colts game for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar & Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. And welcome back for the final segment. Robbie and Rex Road. Adam Bingen has done yeoman's work filling in today for Robbie Stanley. Michelle Knezovic, and we've done fine. It's all everybody around here is always nervous when I'm on microphone one, but didn't botch it yet. We still have a little bit of show left, but it's been fun. It's gone fast. And Vingan, I wanna finish with a very important news story from this week.
Okay.
And actually, you're the one who. Well, we'll talk Titans Colts after this, maybe, unless this really takes us down the rabbit hole. This handsome coach thing, man. I mean, first of all, it's awesome. Like, basically every coach in the NHL this week has been asked. Although I have not seen Daryl Sutter. Has he been asked about being, like, the number – what was he, number two?
He was number two.
Which is the most amazing thing ever. I got to see that interview. John Hines was asked. Alex Doherty put out a video, A to Z Sports, asking John Hines. And John Hines – he was number four.
Number four.
And John Hines had a nice joke about being, quote, tightly groomed, which you know something. You yes. And Robbie and John Hines know a little bit of something about being tightly groomed.
Bald is beautiful, I'm learning currently.
That's right. But hold on now. Hold on.
But we should explain where this came from.
All right. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
So you get these two, I'm sure. These random gambling emails with certain odds and ends and prop bets and all that nonsense. So I get an email a few days ago from gambling.com where they have a ranking of the most handsome NHL coaches 1 through 32. And I guess they determined it by using some sort of like beauty app.
It's a beauty app, yeah.
Yeah, so according to this list, Jay Woodcroft, the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, is the most handsome coach in the league. And you know, I screenshotted the list, tweeted it out. I just checked. It has 447 quote tweets. Like, it became a thing. And as you said, many coaches around the league have been asked about this, including John Hines, as you mentioned. But for example, Derek Lalonde, the new coach of the Detroit Red Wings,
who has been
generously compared to Uncle Fester, was number three on the list. So I'm not sure exactly how this app determines who is handsome and who isn't. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
This is true.
So a lot of people took umbrage with the fact that Jared Bednar, of course, the coach of the Avalanche, was 15th on the list.
Rod Brind'Amour,
Rod the Bod, for God's sake.
Yeah,
lower than John Tortorella,
Spartan legend.
Lower than John Tortorella. That's another guy I would love to see asked about this. Ask John Tortorella what he thinks about being the ninth most handsome coach in the league. But it's better than asking about his team, which is not very good.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'd like, Adam, is I'd like to somehow get back into a time machine with you covering a beat in which Peter LaViolette is the coach, because I would really love for you to ask Peter LaViolette about being number 32. Yes. I mean, it's time for you to defend LaViolette. That is a joke. Lavi is a good-looking guy. Come on.
Peter LaViolette, according to this list, the least handsome. We're not going to say ugliest. We're going to say least handsome coach in the NHL. And despite my disagreements with Peter over the years, he's got a good head of hair for someone in his 50s. So, and he's been in the game for a long time.
Nice lettuce there.
Yeah.
Lavi.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about Peter being last on the list. Bruce Boudreau thought he should.
Oh, that
Bruce
was great.
Boudreau mentioned he, was surprised he was as high as he was.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, like Lavi has to be asked. Like, who, that press corps well? Who's asked him the question?
That's a good question.
I mean, our guy Steve Wino's got to ask him. Nobody else. Like, Wino, right. Get in there and ask him.
What I do find funny is that Jim Montgomery, former coach of the Stars, now the coach of the Bruins, was number 31 on the list. And I think if you put Jim Montgomery and John Hines next to each other, some people might not be able to tell them apart. They do look quite similar, but John near the top and Montgomery near the bottom. So it was definitely look, gambling.com accomplished exactly what it wanted to do. It was like the number one discussion topic on NHL Twitter the other day. And the fact that coaches were actually asked about it. Now is the time to do that.
Win.
Now is the time to do it because it's training camp. Things are a little bit more low key. But yes, I would put a list together of the five coaches I would love to see asked about this the most, just to see their reaction. Daryl Sutter's on that list. John Tortorella's on that list.
Lavi, for sure.
Peter's on that list. I might put Rod Brind'Amour on this list because the guy is still like legendary in the gym, despite not being a player anymore.
Yeah,
so he might take umbrage with the fact that he falls behind someone like, Paul Maurice is number five on the list. Paul Maurice, a very sharp-dressed man. Great eyewear
but this isn't about clothes.
I know, but I think it should.
This is a weird beauty app, facial symmetry, whatever.
Gambling.com, whoever came up with this idea, I hope, one, you got a nice bonus because whoever put this together did exactly what he or she wanted to do, make it a topic of discussion.
And here it is, end of Friday. It comes back around. Sticking with hockey, we talked earlier about the Preds and possibly being the second best team in the West, different players. One player we talked a little bit of, Tomasino, Tolvanen, Lankinen has a good game last night. Cody Glass, I don't think it's I think at this point it's impossible to ignore some of what John Hines is saying about him and how he's playing, how he looks. And I understand the problem is some people are still going to be like, Cody Glass, because he was a high pick and we know the story with him. He's had injuries. It's been disappointing. But I must say, if Cody Glass can be a good player for this team and take a big step forward and kind of solidify that fourth line, what would that mean to this team?
I mean, I think it would certainly help. And look, I think it's clear that the Predators won that trade. It's unfortunate that Ryan Ellis, is not going to play this season and may not play again. Nolan Patrick, who was also involved in that deal, not playing the season for the Vegas Golden Knights. So they're both out. Cody Glass had a good season in the AHL last season in Milwaukee, and you hope he has a good season at the NHL level. And, even Philip Myers, traded to Tampa for Ryan McDonough. So the Predators have already come out on top of that trade as far as I'm concerned. But it would make a big difference for Cody Glass to have a role on this team. And it will be interesting to see if he does make the roster, which he did. He made the opening night roster last year, too, but played like two games and then was down in the American League for most of the rest of the
season.
Quote
unquote made the roster.
Right. So I think when you look at Cody Glass, it will be interesting to see how he is used because he's not a traditional fourth line forward. But he is.
But that's the thing they have.
Yeah, they don't. They have that. Their third line is more of a traditional fourth line.
They're like a fourth line and a second line combined, right. Which I guess makes it a third line.
Yeah, I guess so. meet in the middle. But Glass. I think Glass is a player that is going to need, some power play time. Some offensive zone draws to succeed. So yeah, he is an intriguing player to be sure. Just because his career did get derailed a bit by some significant injuries. He seemed to find himself again in the American League last season, and I think it would certainly help the Predators to have him be a regular contributor to them this year.
All right, last thoughts, Titans, Colts. Who's winning? Who is winning per Adam Vingan? Titans at Colts Sunday.
I've got the Titans. I'm going to go with the homer pick. I've got the Titans.
It's a clean sweep.
Like I said earlier today, I said that the fact that the Colts beat the Chiefs gives me more confidence in the Titans winning than if the Colts were coming in winless and desperate. I don't know why I feel that way. It's just how I feel.
We will see. It'll be very interesting. Big weekend of football ahead. Everyone be safe. Have fun out there. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is next.